Good morning to you all here this morning. I greet you in the name of Jesus. This is Brother Wilmer here this morning again with the devotional for this morning. This week, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday morning, we've been looking at the verse or the verses, but mainly the verse in Matthew 22:37, and if you do have a question on this morning's devotional, you might want to refer back to those mornings to catch up with what we're speaking about here. In Matthew 22:37, Jesus saith unto him, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is likened unto it, Thou shalt love the neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. And we've been looking at loving the Lord with all thy heart. Loving the Lord thy God with all thy heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. And yesterday morning, I quite strongly spoke or not sure how to word that, would have put a pretty strong plea in for the fathers, and I would like to continue in that line. There's a portion of scripture here that I'd like to read here this morning. In Luke 10, starting at 25-36, and behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? He said unto him, What is written in the law? How readest thou? And he answering said, Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, Thou hast answered right, do this, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify him, said unto Jesus, And who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering said, A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho, and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, and wounded him, and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at the place, came and looked on him, passed on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him, and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn, and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence, and gave them to the host, and said unto him, Take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? I know that many a message has been preached and taught from this section of scripture, and there's many different ways to look at it, and there's many different and I think it's right that there's many different things that we can get out of, but this week we are speaking about the heart, we are talking about the soul and the mind. And in earlier mornings here, prior to this, I've been pondering some things, and it was my desire that we could all be blessed, and that we could help, or that it could help, or to encourage each one of us to a deeper realization of who God is and what, how He made us and how our heart and soul and mind needs to be in unity and needs to be function together. I'd like to read into this section of this portion of scripture here in Luke in a little deeper way, maybe stimulate us to think or to read into it a little deeper. I find it interesting here that Jesus, when it was said about the neighbor, in other words, we are to love the Lord our God with all of our heart, mind, soul, and strength, and our neighbor as ourselves. But here, there's some things interwoven here in this parable that I would like to look at. Okay, it says here, and Jesus answered, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among the thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. Now, I'd like to stop there. In other places in Scripture, Jesus referred to, and the disciples referred to, Jerusalem as a start. In other words, he, in one place, when he spoke about their mission, they were to start in Jerusalem and then go out to Jericho and Judea and all the other places of the earth and carry the good news, the gospel, to all around. And in many ways, in the Christian circles, this has been referred to as starting at home with the gospel, starting with our wives, starting with our children, starting with our family, with our neighbors, and then taking it in maybe in bigger steps and taking it out to the neighboring towns and cities and even overseas. Well, in this same way, I would like to look at this as a person that started off, he gave his heart to, he surrendered his heart to Jesus Christ, and God the Father did give him a new heart there in Jerusalem. Now, I would like to take our thoughts down this road a little bit. Okay, so now this person was in a safe place. He was with the ones that led him to Christ, this man that was in Jerusalem here. But the time came where he was more and more on his own. And I would refer that as the road to Jericho. In other words, he was more and more on his own, and there were testings and tryings ahead of him. There were fires ahead of him. There were trials ahead of him. The refining fires were ahead of him. And it says he fell among thieves and stripped him of his garment. Now, I would just like to take that and look at it. Okay, so the thieves. I would like to refer that to Satan. Satan is a destroyer. He destroys, kills, and robs. I'm not sure if I'm saying that right. But I think you get the picture. Satan steals from us. And I would like to look at this person as, yes, he was converted. Yes, he did have a new heart, but there were things in the soul area. And, you know, today, in where we are at today, there, I'd just like to explain a little bit here. I believe that in the day that we live in today, there are souls around us that are so broken down by the high rate of divorce and people growing up without, not even, a lot of them not even knowing who their father is. And then on the other side of the road, we have the strong religious people where they take their ideas from generations before and push them and lift them higher than the Word of God. So we have the two ditches here. But what I see is we have souls that are so broken down by the time that they do believe in Jesus, they do come and they experience the new birth, the soul is so broken down, there is so much restoration to be done in the soul. And for many of us that have come to Christ in such a broken way, our souls, if we can just picture our souls a little bit like a house that is just really dilapidated and broken down and needing much, much restoration. Well, I believe this man was, and I'm paraphrasing here, and I hope you can follow me here this morning. Okay, this man going from Jerusalem to Jericho, I believe he was a born-again person, and there was so much restoration needed in his soul. And I also want to say this here this morning, a person that is so broken down, that does not exempt him from the love of God, or that does not mean that the love of God and that he cannot be saved. In fact, God loves to save those that are broken down, and especially loves to, and he is a master at it. He loves to bring out beauty out of ashes, and he's a master at it, and he loves to do it. Okay, but I see this man as this wounded man was a man that his soul still needed a lot of restoration, and as he went towards Jericho, he fell among the thieves, this being Satan, and he was tried there. He was tried. However, his soul was still broken down in such a way that whatever he faced there, really got him down. Can we just stop and think? Is there times when we are just really down, even though that we believe that we've been born again, we believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, and there are days when we meet trials and we fail. And there's times when it's hard to accept that we failed. And I believe here in this place, he got to a place where this man got to a place where it says leaving him half dead. Many, many Christians today come to a point where after they've been born again, they meet refining fires, they meet trials that were allowed. Maybe not the will of the Father in heaven, but he allowed it to come our ways to try us. And by the time we're through with this trying, it can seem like we're almost half dead. In fact, we can almost wonder if we're Christians anymore. It says here that the thieves wounded him and departed, leaving him as half dead. And then it says, and here in 31 it says, and by chance there came down a certain priest that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. Now, I'd like to just speak about this a little bit. Okay, we have people amongst us that are Christians, and yet they are struggling, and deeply struggling to get through some things. And I believe that this is not that this person doesn't have a new heart. I do believe that he has a new heart, but I believe that the restoration of his soul is... there are times when our souls are under, can I say, construction by our Heavenly Father, if I may say that. And there's times when it's hard for us to understand such a person. Because this person claims to be born again. He claims to believe in God. Yet, it's very clear that this man or this person is struggling. How are we in a time like that? I just want to challenge us here this morning. How are we when we see a person like this that is half dead and he is struggling? Are we like this priest that we just kind of stand back and watch? And you might even think, huh, this guy says he believes in Jesus Christ. He says he's born again. But, yeah, he's struggling. And I'm just going to stand back. Or are we like this Levite? You know, in John 3, Nicodemus came to Jesus by night. And he was full of questions. And Jesus said to him, okay, it says in John 3:10, he said, art thou a master of Israel and knowest not these things? You know, I believe he's saying here that this priest and this Levite should have known what was going on. You know, for some of us, as much as we know about God's Word, and as much as we know about Jesus, there were two things about Jesus that comes out very strong. You don't have to talk to a person very long when you ask him of two things that Jesus did while he was here on earth that really stood out. Well, I should say three things. He forgave sins. He did miracles. And he did many healings. You know, for many of us, we know these things. We know these things. And with Jesus, if he would be speaking to us today, would he say to you and to me, would he say, well, art thou a master? Here in the United States, and you hear all these preachings, and you have my life to watch after, and where did it say that? And thou don't knowest these things? You know, for many of us have seen this verse many a times, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy mind. So I believe we should be able to see our brother and to be able to see beyond the struggle. Or when we see our brother half dead in his struggle and Satan is trying him and robbing him, taking his cloak or his raiment, and is wounding him, maybe even through other people that should know these principles. It says, but One thing I did want to mention at this time, a person that comes to Christ and he surrenders his life to Christ and he confesses his sin to God, to Jesus Christ and to man, and accepts the gift of salvation, has a big start to that restoration of the soul. Just the fact that a person can come to the place where he believes that his sins are forgiven can bring a huge portion of restoration to his soul that gives him a good start in this restoration work of the soul. It says here, but a good Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him. Is that us today? Is that us as a father or as a husband? When we see these things in those around us, especially those that are close to us, our wives, our children, and we see these things, do we have compassion on those around us when we see them struggling? You know, the next verse says, and went to him and bound up his wound, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast, and brought him to an inn and took care of him. Now, what I want us to ponder about here is it says that he poured in oil and wine. You know, the one, here is something that here's a very important key. Okay, it says he poured in oil on his wounds. Okay, so when we see those around us that are wounded and struggling, and they are going through the refining fires, they are struggling, and for many of those, it may seem like even to themselves, they wonder if they're still alive in Christ. Okay, now, do we have compassion on these people? Is the question here this morning. It's this pouring in of the oil. Many times in the Bible, the Holy Ghost is referred to as oil. Are we that should know these things pouring in oil into the wounds of those around us? Are we pouring in the Holy Ghost? Are we connected? Are we are we willing to pour in? Are we willing to be that channel for the Holy Ghost to pour in that soothing oil of the Holy Ghost into the wounds of those around us? Or do we think we're so much better than those around us? We've got something that they don't have. It's a serious question for us. Now, it says he poured in oil and wine. Jesus there in the Last Supper took up the cup with wine, and he referred it to his blood. You know, he took wine, and that is what he... I find it just very interesting. Now, the question that I would have had on the wine, why did he pour in wine? Wine is known as a cleanser and a healer. When we see those that are struggling around us, are we willing to be that channel that delivers? Yes, are we willing to be Jesus? Are we allowing Jesus to work within us to such a way that we have completely surrendered these bodies over to Jesus, and that Jesus can fully work through us in times like this as we see those around us struggling. And he uses, are we willing to be used by the Lord Jesus Christ and be a channel to bring the Holy Ghost and Jesus into those wounds around us? Even though the person may say that he's been born again. You know, I just want to challenge us here this morning. Let us not stop at new birth. Let us go deeper. Let us go deeper. I've okay, one way to look at this is, I guess my heart goes out to those that talk about their new birth, talk about their testimony, and have a testimony, but seemingly never go further than that. It's a little like going to a show where there's many exhibitors. Maybe there's a 500 booths in that show of people showing their products. And we're looking forward to going to this show. And we're looking forward to it, and we're looking forward to it, and we finally get there, and we finally step inside those doors of that show. But we're rejoicing that we're in this show, and we're inside the doors, and we go no further. We just stop there, right inside the doors, and we praise God that we made it to the show, and we're rejoicing that we're inside the doors of the show. But brothers and sisters, there's so much more. You know, when I see someone that rejoices in his new birth, rejoices in how he has been delivered, that is something to rejoice in, and I do not want to minimize that. That is something to rejoice in. But a person that refuses to go deeper than that is like a person that got inside the doors of the show but has no desire to now go and see the exhibiting booths in the show. It's a little like someone looking forward to going to heaven to get inside the pearly gates. And once this person is inside the pearly gates, just rejoicing that he's inside the pearly gates, and believe me, I believe that would be something, that would be something to be looking forward to. I think we all look forward to the day when we're inside the pearly gates. But, brothers and sisters, I believe that once a person goes home to be with his Heavenly Father, and he finds himself in the very presence of his Father, in the very presence of this great city that we can read of, this beautiful heaven, I think there'll be exploring and discovery without end in that place. And that is how it is for us here in this life, with discovering God and discovering his healing. I believe the restoration of the soul will take a lifetime. I don't think anyone will ever come to a point where he can say that there is nothing in his soul that needs to be restored. But brother and sister, we can come beyond. We can come to a place where we can function and where everything within us is in unity, and that we can love the Lord our God with all of our heart, with all of our mind, with all of our soul. And I believe at that point, if we are at that point, we can no longer resist from telling those around us and helping those around us and pouring in oil and wine in the wounds of those around us. And I believe that there is no limit to where God will take us in this. God knew that if we are in unity within ourselves, that He will take us places, and we will do greater things, as Jesus said, that we will be doing greater things than He did. You know, when Jesus was here, He healed the withered hand. He healed the lame. He healed the blind. He forgave sins. But He said there's a greater work here to be done. And I believe this is maybe a little part of what He may have been talking about. These things that I've been sharing with you all this week. So, let us continue on. Let us open up our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us open up our minds. Let us allow Him to renew our minds to such a state that our souls can be restored. Yesterday morning, I spoke about some of the pain that is within the souls of men. The pain, and for many, 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 probably as high as 97% of all men in this world, it is too painful to come to face to face with the pain that is in their souls. Walking out of some of these pains, some of these, this restoration of the soul can be a painful experience, but it is worth it. It is worth it. And I would just encourage us all here today. It is safe to open up our hearts to the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the greatest healer of all. We can open up our hearts to Him. We can open up our minds to Him. We can allow Him to restore our souls and to be healed. You know, for some of us, it's too painful. It's too painful. We can't go there. It is too painful. But which is the greater pain? To go through the pain of walking out of these things in our souls that need to be, that the Lord so wants to heal us, or to just continue on in life with this pain deep within us? Our Father, our Heavenly Father, wants His oil and His wine poured into our souls. He wants our souls to be saved. He wants us to be restored. He wants us to be whole. He wants His Spirit and the salvation that Jesus Christ bought for us. He wants us to be completely whole through these. So may the Lord bless you as you go forward today. Let us come before the Lord today that we might have a greater understanding of these things. And I'm right with you. I desire to have a greater measure and a greater understanding of these things as well.